Amen indeed. What a great special, what a great song, you know. You think about Christmas, we celebrate Christmas, all the excitement of it, and rightfully so, and we celebrate the birth of Christ, but you know, we need to contemplate that He was born to die. He came to give His life. Paul said He came to save sinners, and to do that He had to give His life, but what a beautiful song. Thank you for your special. Thank you for the great song service, the good singing. I love Christmas music. That's one of my favorite parts of the holiday is the music and singing the Christmas music and such. And I am glad also that you are here again today to be a part of our service. If you have your Bibles, turn to Hebrews chapter 9. Once again, we think of Christmas. We think of those passages over in the first chapters of Matthew and Mark. We think of that passage over in the book of Isaiah chapter 7 and chapter 9. And I want to look at Jesus this morning in the line and thinking about His coming, what He did for us in His coming, and that's why we go to the book of Hebrews. You don't think about Hebrews as you would as a passage to go for, that you'd use for Christmas, but I want to do that. I did start it last week and want to continue that this morning. In the book of Hebrews, the writer of the book of Hebrews, and again, I think it was the Apostle Paul, but we don't know that for certain, he was writing to the Jews, and he was showing them a better way. He was showing them that the way of salvation through grace, which has always been, but the things that He accomplished in Jesus accomplished in His ministry, in His death and resurrection, were the fulfillment of that law and that Old Testament way, and it was a better way. It's the way of grace. Folk, let me tell you this morning, this Christmas and every day of our life, let us celebrate the grace and the mercy of God. Let us be mindful of how gracious He is and all that we have in His grace. I believe, I've always preached and such, that in the Garden of Eden, when Adam partook of the forbidden fruit, violated the prohibition that God had put there on them just to give them choice, that God could have righteously, judiciously said, you had your opportunity, you missed your chance. But through His grace and His mercy, He right then and there told Eve, said, you'll have a child. And through the descendants of that child and through the descendants of Adam and Eve, we come to Jesus. Bruised the head of the serpent, or crushed the head of the serpent bruised his heel. But let me tell you what, we have salvation today. We have victory today because of what we have in Jesus. Read with me in Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9, beginning in verse 24. Talks about Christ and His appearances as He interacts with mankind. It says, for Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are figures of the true. Jesus is the true, okay? But in heaven, He has entered into heaven itself now to appear in the presence of God for us. Not yet that He should offer Himself, nor yet that He should offer Himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood for others, for then must He, Jesus, often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once, or once and for all, in the end of the world, hath, or present tense, has He, or past tense, has He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. And, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for Him shall He appear to put away, shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Notice in verse 26, it says He hath He appeared, has He appeared, past tense. Verse 24, He says now to appear in the presence of God for us. Present tense. In verse 28, we look for Him, shall He appear, future tense, the second time without sin unto salvation. Heavenly Father, God, thank You for Your Son Jesus, for His appearances on our behalf. Let us be reminded this Christmas season that Jesus has appeared for us, and that is why we can celebrate this glorious event, the birth of Your Son. Lord, open our hearts and minds, convict us. I pray that if there's one in this congregation today that has a need of any kind, that need would be met by your grace and mercy as they give themselves to you fully and completely. Lord, grant me preaching grace. Thank you for the privilege. And Lord, I'll praise you for it. And I ask it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. All right, amen. Last week, we began to look at this passage of Scripture. And it speaks of three appearances of Jesus. How that he has appeared in the past. How that he now appears in the presence. And how he shall appear in the future. To review real quickly, we talked about how he has appeared. Now, this is talking about a physical manifestation, a physical demonstration, a physical appearance of Jesus. Folks, we're celebrating Christmas now. We're fully into the Christmas season. We're celebrating the birth of Christ. As he came into the world, he was born as any other little boy in that little old manger, that smelly cave in Bethlehem, and he lived a physical life as we do. He has appeared. Be sure and remember this. I'm going to remind you. I know you know this, but let me remind you. That is not the beginning of Jesus. Jesus is the eternal God. He lives. He has always existed. He exists today, and he always will. No point of beginning or ending. We can't understand that fully. Our mind thinks of beginnings and endings for everything. Folks, let me tell you what. Not with Jesus. He is God. But his physical demonstration, his physical life, his physical manifestation began about 2017 or so years ago, and he began it in a little village called Bethlehem where there was no room for him in the inn, and he was born in a stall in probably a cave where they kept livestock. The humble beginnings, and he has appeared. He came as a minister with compassion, love, grace, and mercy to all he encountered in his physical life. He established the church. He called out the apostles. He taught. He healed. He did all of those wonderful things. Early in life, at an age of about 33 and a half, he died on the cross. Died on the cross, gave his life as a payment for our sin, and paid our sin debt that we owed but could not pay, but he paid it for us. And if we will by faith accept that gracious gift this morning, if you're here this morning and lost, and you will do that, I'll promise you, you'll have the best Christmas you've ever had. You will receive the grandest of all gifts, the gift of all gifts, the eternal life given in salvation by the Lord Jesus Christ from the Father. How great and glorious it is. After the resurrection, he lived for 40 more days on this earth, and then he ascended back into heaven, Acts chapter 1. He ascended back up into heaven, and there today, now he appears, and I love how he says this, in the presence of God for us. Today he is making intercession on our behalf. I'm not sure exactly how all that works, but he sits there at the right hand of the Father, and he sits there and he intercedes on our behalf, and I believe as we pray in the name of Jesus, that intercession gets us into the very throne room of God. We don't need a high priest like they had in the Old Testament era, because we have the high priest that tore asunder the veil in the temple, that ushered us, gave us privilege to usher right into the very throne room of God. And that's what we do every time we pray this morning. We go in there and we tell the God of heaven about our needs and our praise and our adoration, and Jesus is there making intercession for us. I like to think that when we get backed up in that corner of life and it's difficult and it's hard, and we come to the place where we don't know what to do. We don't even know what to pray. Now, Romans chapter 8 tells us the Holy Spirit intercedes on our behalf. And as the Holy Spirit intercedes on our behalf, I believe the Son just takes up that intercession, delivers it, presents it to God, and says, God, this is what they need. And I'm glad he knows better than even we do concerning the things of this life. He now appears for us. But in verse 27, it says, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after that the judgment. Normally we take that passage of Scripture and we take it out of this context. And now you've got to be real careful about taking Scripture out of context. You could really foul things up, okay? This one, oftentimes, well, I'll take this passage of Scripture and let it stand alone, and it can in its teachings, all right, and such, but it certainly is a tie of all of what we're going to look at this morning. I often use this passage of Scripture at funerals. encouraging other people. Your loved one has met their appointment with death. We have an appointment with death, and we better be prepared for it. How do we prepare for our appointment with death? We come to the place we know Christ is our personal Savior. I'm not going to preach a funeral where I can't tell somebody about Jesus, all right? And I preach lots and lots of them. But folk, I'm telling you, it is appointed unto man once to die. That is a part of the appointment of life. That is a part of the round of life. And that is the end of physical life. After that, the judgment. Every man's judgment between them and God, all right? But I'm telling you today, we have an appointment with death. But just as surely, and folk, listen, until Jesus comes, and I pray it's this afternoon, until I pray before I get finished here in just a minute. Right now, it's fine with me. All right? Got to always say it. If the Lord comes back before we get finished this morning, I hope there's nobody left to turn off the lights. That's my prayer, all right? Until Jesus comes, whenever it might be, today or next week or 1,000 years, until Jesus comes, we have an appointment with death. We're going to die. That is an absolute. Medical science can do some phenomenal things, but they're not going to stop death. Just as sure as we're going to die. Just as sure as we are going to die. So Christ, who was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them who look for him, shall he appear. He's going to come again. We're going to see him again. Folk, Jesus is going to come back 2 more times, and we're going to look at those this morning. How in the world do you take a sermon or a part of a sermon on the rapture and the millennial reign of Christ? How do you tie that to Christmas? Folk, we do it right here. He shall appear. And oh, what a time it's going to be. I understand, and I don't know this for an absolute, one of my favorite Christmas songs is Joy to the World. I love it. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. After a while, look at that song, read that song. The next time we sing it, we'll sing it some more before Christmas. Listen to the words of that. That song apparently was written not about the birth of Christ, but when he comes in the millennial reign. Read the words of it. What it talks about didn't happen when he came the first time, but it will the next time. But let's keep singing it at Christmas, all right? It's a beautiful song, and I'm glad he came the first time. I'm glad that he's there for us today, and I'm glad that we who look for him and anticipate his coming, shall he appear? Shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation? Folk, listen, Jesus is coming back. This Christmas, we celebrate the return of Jesus. We celebrate his birth. Tonight, as a church family, we're going to observe the Lord's Supper. Again, I think the most special, important service we have. We do it 4 times a year. I love when we do it just before Christmas. Because, folk, listen, this is what it's all about. Jesus, indeed, born in the flesh, came to live for us, to die for us, to rise from the dead for us, and he has ascended back into heaven, working for us today. And the Apostle Paul in the book of 1 Corinthians tells us about the Lord's Supper that we should take it and observe it in remembrance of him until he comes. Folk, I want you to celebrate Christmas this year. I want you to tell your little ones about the birth of Jesus. I want you to explain to them the depiction of the nativity. I want you to explain to them how God announced it through the angelic host to the shepherds in the field. I want you to explain to them the wise men and why they came. I want you to explain to them the things of that. But I also want you to explain to them how that he's going to come again. And this time he'll not come as a little baby, born in the humility of the dungy, nasty stable, but he is going to come as the omnipotent creator. He's going to come as the Savior for his children. He's going to come and take us to be with him. That first event that we talk about is the rapture. That is our blessed hope. We are told in Titus chapter 2, verse 11 or 13, we're told that our blessed hope is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Folk, when he comes the next time, he's just going to come in the clouds and he's going to call us home, and we're going to get to go to be with him and to experience the glory of his presence forever and ever and ever. Listen to how it's described in a very familiar passage of Scripture. I hope it's very familiar to you. Where Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, he says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant or unlearned, brethren, concerning them who are asleep, who have died in Christ, that you sorrow not." By the way, that does not teach soul sleeping, all right? No, that's just an indicator that they have died in Jesus. Even as others who have no hope. For we, if we believe, since we believe, you can translate that if since, since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also who sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. Paul gives credit here to this being the statement of Jesus, that we who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Folk, that must be a part of our Christmas celebration. That must be the idea that we have this morning as we think about Jesus when he shall appear, when he comes back to take us to be with him. Folk, when the rapture occurs, instantaneously, the dead in Christ are going to rise first. That's just their physical body, all right? They are in the presence of Jesus today, all right? Let me tell you what, your loved one who's gone to be with the Lord, he is with the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present with Christ, we are told, all right? Don't worry about them being in the grave. There are those that teach that. That's wrong. Folk, they are with Jesus today. And when they comes, he's going to bring them with him, and they're going to get a new eternal glorified body. And that old body, I don't care what state it's in. I don't care how long it's been in the ground. I don't care what the situation was at the time of their demise. Folks, God's going to gather it up, and he's going to give them a new eternal glorified body instantaneously, as we're told in Corinthians, in the twinkling of an eye. We who are alive and remain are going to be changed. We're going to be given that changed into a new glorified body, and we're all going to go to be with Jesus, and we're going to be with him forever. How great, how wonderful, how much better could it get, folk? Listen, Jesus shall appear. And I know this with absolute certainty. I know this with absolute confidence. I know this today because Jesus himself said so. John chapter 14, he says, "I go and prepare a place for you. If it were not so, I would have told you. And if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Jesus told me he's coming back. The angels of heaven announced it. That morning that he ascended back into heaven, I say morning, that day he ascended back into heaven, Acts chapter 1, and he is literally there with the apostles. He gives them that great commission one last time to be a witness unto him in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. And all of a sudden, I'm telling you, Jesus begins to literally, physically, just like I'm standing before you this morning, he begins to float into the sky. Those old apostles and those others are there. They're standing there, and their eyes get about this big, and their mouth is agape. Yours would have been too. But what a scene it would have been. He floats up off into the clouds and out of sight. The angels of heaven speak to those folks that are there and said, "Why stand you men of Galilee, why stand you here gazing into heaven? This same Jesus that just left you is going to come in the same way and take you to be with him again." Oh, how glorious it's going to be. I like to think he's going to set his feet now when he comes the next time to take us to be with him. He's not going to come to the earth, but he's going to come and take us to be with him. And the angels told us about that. The Apostle Paul told us about it in that passage I just read in 1 Thessalonians. Peter told us about it in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. The writer of the book of Hebrews says Jesus coming back is just as sure as you're dying until he does come back. Folk, listen, I have no fear of death. I mean that as genuinely as I can tell you this morning. I don't relish what may take me out, but I don't worry about what goes beyond death. Folk, it's a transformation. It is a metamorphosis that gets me from this old mess to what God's got for me in heaven. I look forward to that. How great and grand it's going to be. And all of that will, and by the way, we're told in Revelation 22 that when he comes, that's when he's going to come with his reward for those who have faithfully served him. And that event, the rapture, is going to lead to the next appearance of Jesus, when he really, literally, physically comes to this earth. This is when he's going to come back and he's going to set his feet upon the Mount of Olives outside the city of Jerusalem there. A little of my theology. I like to think his feet are going to land in the same place that they were when he ascended. Now, I don't know if that's right or not, but he's going to come back to the same place, all right? Jesus is going to come and he's going to set his feet upon the Mount of Olives. And I'm telling you, as an initial demonstration of who he is and what he is and the power he possesses, that old mountain's going to split asunder and there's going to be a great expanse between each side of it. And when it does, I'm telling you, Jesus is going to set his feet upon the mount and he is going to come and he is going to be once and for all, unchallenged, unquestioned, undeniably, he is going to be the blessed and only potentate, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Folk, let me tell you what. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem, he came as the King of Israel. He came as the Messiah. He came as the Savior. He came as the one who would give his life. He came as the one who was born to die. He came as the one who would save his children. He came as the one who would heal the sick and cause the blind to see. He came as the very one who would cleanse the leper. He came as the one who would raise the dead. He came as our only potentate and King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, folk, that's what he's going to be when he comes the next time. And he's going to reign from the city of Jerusalem, from the throne of David, for 1,000 years. 1,000 years. You think about that. Rulers in this world today, some places where they have dictatorships and monarchies and such as that, a person will take the throne, so to speak, like the Queen of England now. She's been on the throne for way yonder a long time, all right? She took it as a young lady, and now she's well into her 80s, and when she dies, Prince Charles will become the King of England and such. But, you know, her reign has been extremely long and unusual. It's been, I don't know, 50, 60 years. Jesus is going to rule for 1,000 years. And, folk, it is going to be a rule of graciousness, blessedness, righteousness, at times a rule with a rod of iron. But I'm telling you, this old world, it's going to be different then. Oh, when Jesus comes, it's going to be different. He's even going to change things of nature, where the lamb and the lion will lay together, where the lion will eat the straw with the lamb, where these little babies in our congregation this morning can go out and play with that old poisonous snake. It won't hurt them. Oh, what a time it's going to be. I don't understand it all. I believe it'll be a time much like maybe it was in the Garden of Eden. It's going to be a time of glory and graciousness. And I don't understand it all, but what's going to be as grand as anything about it, we get to be a part of that reign as children of God. We get to come and be with Him. Folk, listen, as we celebrate Christmas, let us celebrate Jesus, past, present, and future. Let us look forward to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us live for Him because of what He has done for us. Let us live for Jesus this Christmas. Let us tell others about Jesus this Christmas. Let us expound upon what He has done for us because of that very thing. Folk, listen to me today. We have today a suffering Savior that has appeared in the past. We have that intercessory Savior that is interceding on the right hand of the Father today. We have that returning Savior that's going to come and get us and take us to be with Him in a very short time after that, bring us with Him, and He's going to put His feet upon the Mount of Olives and we're going to reign and rule with Him for 1,000 years. Oh, how gracious and glorious. How wonderful and just phenomenal. But let us be sure and remember this morning as we think about Christmas. We think about the birth of Christ and Him coming to earth, His coming that first time. Let us think for a moment that God in His entirety, God in the realm of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, way back there in eternity past, you can't date that because if there's no beginning and ending, there's nothing to date. You can't do that. But way back there before the foundation of the earth, before man was ever formed from the dust of the earth, they had a plan. They had a plan for you and me. That plan was that He would create us from the dust of the earth, make us a living soul, give us the option of righteousness, the option of obedience. We just chose to disregard that in Adam, and that's all been passed on to us. But He also gave us a second chance. He also gave us the grace and the mercy found in salvation. I'm glad for second chances. One thing about God is He'll give you a third chance and a fourth chance and an umpteenth chance. He don't ever quit you. He don't ever give up on you. He'll never leave us nor forsake us as His children. But He gave us a second chance. And when it all began to come apart as His plan and purpose, and it all become the creation of man and all that transpired, all of the interaction of God with humanity was for our good. For our good. And then well after the time of creation, and we don't know just how long, we don't know just when that was, but about 2017 or so years ago, it was time for the Lord Jesus Christ to make His appearance in the form of man. The Holy Spirit spoke to the Virgin Mary. She conceived within her the Savior of humanity, and He was born on what we call Christmas Day. We don't know when He was born exactly. Very likely, more likely in the spring, but when it was, it doesn't matter. Let's celebrate His birth. And He came to die. He came to die. He came to give His life for us, that we might have a greater life than what we have now, and that is the hope of eternal life, the blessed life, the life of salvation, the life that will never, ever end. I speak of the eternity of God, the eternal nature. He didn't begin. He's not going to end, and we can't grasp that. With us, in the physical, we can find a beginning, I believe, at the point of conception. Then we're born, and then we go through this life. 50, 60, 70, 80, hopefully more than that, 100 years. That's quite a long life. And then it is appointed that we die. But folk, that's just in the physical. For the being and the person, the spirit of Sid Reed, when I physically pass through this life, or Jesus comes to get me, I will enter into a new realm, and that is the realm of eternity. Now, you can go back to the month of the 11th day of June, 1956, and that's where the beginning in the physical was as far as I was born. But, folk, let me tell you what, if the Lord doesn't come back, there may be an end date on a marker somewhere that remembers me. But let me tell you what, there's not going to be an end for me. There's not going to be an end. I will enter into the eternal kingdom. Time will no longer be a concept. I will not have to look down the road and say, well, when my time comes, because my time has already got there. It has arrived, and it is with Jesus. Jesus, He has appeared. He does appear, and He shall appear. If you're here today and you don't know Him as your Savior, right now is the very best time. Paul says now is the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Folks, listen. Don't put it off. Don't put it off. Maybe your last opportunity. God forbid, but somebody could die this afternoon. Life is short. Life is uncertain. Read the book of James. But folk, if we know Jesus, we don't worry about that. No, I'm going to be honest. I don't want to die. I want the Lord to come get us all at one time. I don't want to die. I like being around my family, my grandbabies, my kids, and my wife, and all of that. You guys, I like what we do. But folk, listen, if he'll come get us all at once, praise the Lord, let's go. But if the Lord chooses to take me today, it's okay. I'm going to enter into a kingdom of eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. When he comes back, I'm going to come with him. When he comes back to reign, I'm going to come with him. When you do what God would have you to do, and as far as salvation is concerned this morning, you will leave here with that same hope and that same expectation. Lost friend, don't leave without Jesus today. Don't celebrate another Christmas without knowing the one of whom we celebrate. Know Jesus. Child of God, we think this morning as Christians, I want you to think for a minute this morning. Jesus has appeared to die for us from the time of his birth. He now appears at the right hand of the Father for us. He's coming again. He shall appear for us. He's going to come that last time and establish his earthly kingdom for us and with us. And then we shall forever live with him in the realms of eternity. Folk, let that this morning convict us and motivate us to serve him with everything we have, with all of our heart, all of our mind, and all of our being. Oh, today, I want us to celebrate Christmas. I want you to have all of the fun that comes with Christmas. I want you to enjoy the gift giving. I want you to enjoy the fellowship. I want you to enjoy the food. I want you to enjoy all that comes with Christmas. But I want you to know with every breath you breathe that it's because of Jesus.